Ladies and gentlemen, it is August the 1st, Saturday, the first day of the month of August, and I am here to explain to you what is not happening in EVE Online right now. Nothing bad is happening in Fountain today. No one is leaving Fountain. No one is jumping their ships out of Fountain right now. No Titans have died in Fountain today. Not one. There have been no iHubs lost. Not one. If there were Titans lost today, they were Horde Titans, masquerading as Innit Titans. Everything is fine. Hold on, I gotta jump my work wall here. Hold on. Okay. Nothing is happening. Everything is perfectly fine. This is exactly what we expected. We've been fighting this war for a whole month now. I'm glad that you're joining us today on the Meta Show so that we can provide you with the truth about what's happening in New Eden. Not the lies that you see on those other shows, especially the bullshit that comes out of Ron USMC's mouth. He's a Marine. He eats crayons. Don't listen to him. Okay, I can't keep this going too long. I can't keep it going for that one.
I'm paralyzed. Like, I was going to try to keep a straight face, but my God, dude, that was beautiful. Wow.
Oh, boy. Hi, guys. Welcome to the Meta Show.
He even has stickers. He even has stickers. Right? Show those off, baby.
We got our Imperium epaulettes and everything. We're ready. It's so good.
It's so good. He said he was going to do this as a fun gimmick, and we were feeding the whelp gods a little bit earlier. As you guys know, if you're a part of the Imperium, or if you're involved in World War B at all, you know that a brave initiative pilot warped two of his titans to the wrong gate, and we've had an interesting morning. We hope that just like the last time the Imperium did a big move up, that the whelp gods appreciate our sacrifice and take it in the appropriate sort of way. Wild times, and that is just, it even got the little stars and bars.
I got all kinds of stuff going on here. I have random things that I can add to my costume to make it look cool. Anyway, look. Yes, today's been a fun day so far. I'll tell you right now, I'm pretty sure that the main reason why our guy misheard ZXB and heard LBG instead was because he really wanted to give Darkshines a headache, because that's what happened. It is what it is. It's move ops happen. Everybody feeds a little bit every sometimes. It's okay.
I mean, it's sort of tradition at this point, because when we, you know, the well-known Imperium regions of Cloud Ring and well-known Imperium region of Pure Blind, when we withdrew from those just before World War B started, we also lost a couple Titans. So this is just sort of like, the usual course of business as these things go. So guys, I'm gonna jump in here because Brisk just did an amazing job with the Baghdad Brisk impression. This has got to be a recurring character.
I'm going to get ready for the real show, so go ahead.
I'm calling you Fountain Frank.
Oh my God. Anyway, so we're gonna play the show straight this week. So like last week we did mainly just like shit talking because it was one of those kind of shows. But we actually have enough news related things that we're gonna do. Like we have a segment involving the show is really stepping up its game because we're literally having the Meta Show's first costume change taking place right now. It's not quite like the Lady Gaga concert I saw a few years ago where there was costume changes like every 15 minutes or so, but we're working on it. So here's what we're going to be doing today. We actually do have some CCP news. We have a dev blog involving changes to command ships, and we have Asher Elias and Jay Amazingness are going to be joining us as guests. We wanted to have them on last week, but at the same time, just like last week, we had lots of combat going on, and things apparently have calmed down enough that we can have our guys on as guests. So we're pretty excited about that. And now, that's amazing. You look like nothing happened. You're just like Clark Kent.
Here we go. We're back.
Excellent.
Welcome to the Meta Show, everybody. All right. So let's go ahead and get started. I will start off with my little rant that I want to get into. And, you know, for those of you who have watched the Meta Show before, which hopefully is all of you, one of the big things that I complain about all the time is when CCP goes hot and drops us major changes in the middle of whatever, whether it's a war or whether it's, you know, just a regular day of the week, when they drop it at patch day and they don't tell us anything about the changes until boom, you know, they hit the live server. So we saw that happen on Tuesday with the release of the command ship pass, balance pass. Guys, I hate this. I hate this. We're in the middle of a major war. Fleet commanders use boosting ships all the time. It's a pretty common thing. It's not like anybody didn't know that. And the fact that we get zero notice and all of a sudden, you know, we are dealing with changes while fleets are getting ready to go out 2 hours after downtime, and all of a sudden, you know, the stats on the ships change and people are trying to figure out what it means. That's frustrating to me. I know it's frustrating to you. I have passed those concerns on to the developers. You know, and at the end of the day, this is not the first time that they have done this. I doubt it will be the last time that they do it. But we got to make sure that they know there is no reason why, when you're making changes like this, that you can't give the player base a heads up like a day or two. That's all it is. It doesn't need to be a week. It doesn't need to be a dev blog. It doesn't need to be a chance for everybody to provide their feedback or to talk about it. If you just want to make the change and you don't care what anybody has to say about it, that's fine. But you got to give us heads up, because people were prepped to ready to do things that had to change those plans immediately because they didn't know whether their ships were still any good or not. Now, we'll talk about what exactly changed later in the show, and we'll talk with Jay and Asher about it. But in the end, it's not about what they changed, but it's about how that they communicated it. Now, I want to say, in the interest of fairness, CCP has done a pretty good job in the last 6 or 7 months of providing us with updates in a timely fashion and giving us the chance to opine on them and provide feedback. I'm hoping that this was just an accident. I'm hoping that this is just, hey, you know what? It's summertime. Everything's quiet. You know, there was some miscommunication. We didn't know when this was going live or whatever. I hope that that's all it was and that we get this addressed later on, because I don't want us backsliding into the bad old days of major patches hitting, nothing works because it was never tested on CC, nobody had a chance to talk about it ahead of time, and then people get angry and start screaming. So in any event, that's it. That's all I want to complain about. That's my soapbox. Mittens, do you have a soapbox, or do you want us to get Asher and Jay in here?
Let me think. Mainly, I'm just happy to sort of have my life kind of returning to normal here, right? Like the fact that I'm able to do a normal meta show. I have almost finished assembling my battle station. If you've been following my misadventures of trying to set up my new desk on Twitter, I've still not done the cable management, but I do have a battle station that looks kind of like a Keepstar now. I've got two vertical panels. I've got, you know, it's going places. And today I got to finally play some EVE Online and client. After like several days of just nonsense and chaos and what have you, running around sniping hackers with Jay earlier, so that was pretty cool. But yeah, that's basically it. I don't really have anything to rant about. I am just continuing to enjoy EVE Online and started asking people awkward questions about doing planetary interaction. So it's 2020. The Mitanni is playing EVE and asking people questions about PI. So, you know, up is down, left is right, and Brisk is dressed up like an Iraqi commander. We're just going to roll with it, guys. So speaking of rolling with it, why don't we, let's bring on our guests.
Let's hit it. All right, and two men who don't need any introduction to the Metashow audience. We have Jay Amazingness from Goonswarm, Asher Elias from Goonswarm. We wanted to bring these two guys on to talk about what's going on in the war, talking about what's going on in the game, and because we missed them. They were supposed to join us last week, plans were forced to be scrapped, so we couldn't bring them on, so now we're bringing them on this week. So hi, guys. How are you doing?
What's going on?
Jay is still helpfully muted. I don't think he realizes that he's muted or not, but he is. Everybody is X-ing up like they're gay for Jay, which I am also gay for Jay. But,
which is correct.
Hello, Jay. He's still there. You succeeded.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, how are you?
I'm good. So, in terms of war updates, I'll just go over briefly, you know, the state of play as of August 1st today. I mean, as you guys can see, as happened earlier, Initiative is finally pulling out of Fountain. We are restaging to ZXP and Delve. Those ops are ongoing. We got caught, obviously. It happened about 2.5 hours ago, one of our Titan pilots has been said warped to the wrong gate with two of his Titans. One of them was a hyperspatial rag. The other one was a very, very old Titan. I think he had refitted it. But one of those was a, I think it was like a 2014, 2015 old Titan. It was a very old Titan. So felt bad that that one died. They were intercepted, caught on the gate by Horde, and snuffed out. Both of the systems were cyno-jammed, so what ended up happening was they had to gate the dreads in. They had about 20 or 30 dreads. Those were all killed, obviously, but the two Titans died, which is not bad, because so far, this is the third restaging that Innit has done since the start of the war. We went from IGE to YTAC-2, I guess the second restaging, and now from YTAC-2 to ZXB. And we've only lost these two ships, so that's not bad. So far, I think the count is PandaFam has lost 6 Titans moving, if I recall correctly. And I'm not trying to spin, I'm being honest, if I have that number wrong.
Well, they try to act either 5 or 6, but like, you know, that is one of the funniest things whenever I see one of these like test guys compiling a like campaign battle report, is they ignore all the stuff that Minilov has killed in Jita. They ignore all the, I mean, I guess not just Jita, but all of the jump freighter losses. And they ignore all of the like in transit to their staging. Like they lost like 5 or 6 Titans. And I'm sure somebody can actually get the exact number. I don't really care. But it is kind of funny because they act like those deaths didn't actually happen.
Well, surely they won't count these either, just to be, you know, fair.
Oh, of
and
course,
honest.
Right, because if moving Titans doesn't count, it's a move up. So then clearly Baghdad Brisk was right, and or Fountain Frank was right, and that those Fountain Frank, I love that. But you know, regardless, you know, the interesting thing about this war and where we're going with it is just like continually, we don't really have like today was kind of awesome because it was the first time that we've had in a while. Due to the sacrifice, the noble sacrifice to the whelp gods provided to us by the Initiative Titan pilot, you know, we haven't really had that many battle reports that are, you know, north of 100 billion ISK in general. And so this one cracked, I think, 300 if you total up all sides. But, you know, one of the things that has just been compared to the Goon Fleet Expeditionary Force deployment before this is that there's just not that many, like, meat grinder fights. There's been a few, like when there was that fountain carrier feed situation. And then, like, during a Titan gank or something like that. But most of the time, it's like, you know, one side loses their logi and then retreats back across a regional border into a super, sort of a super capital protection zone. So it's been kind of weird. I mean, I understand the mechanics as to why people are not really investing that much in these fights, because, you know, it's a long slog and we're all trying to preserve our forces and whatever. So regardless of how it went down, it is kind of nice for everybody to have a, you know, spend several hours this morning or this afternoon just killing the shit out of each other. Yeah, I don't know. Good times.
Well, I think what we all expect now is that the fighting is going to center around these regional gates, because that's where the choke points are, obviously. So 49 TAC and Aquarius is one of the choke points. TCAG is one of the choke points. ZXB is one of the choke points. So I think those are the places where we're going to start to see probably the bigger fights. Now, the hard part is, you know, regardless, bad guys have to get in somehow, and that means they're going to have to take a regional gate. And that makes it very easy for us to try to stop them. It also makes it very difficult for them to get in. But at the same time, everybody knows where these are, and we can expect that there's going to be a ton of tie-dye, a ton of people crashing those gates to try to get in and try to fight. And I think I would expect to see, we're a month in now, I would expect to see probably a big fight in the next week or two. That's just my gut call. Now, obviously, my gut calls have been wrong in the past. You know, trolling isn't always trolling when you guys actually follow it up. I was going to have Baghdad Brisk make a joke about how, you know, the Malpay ADMs are crap. You guys need to go get those ADMs up to 6s. They're only in the 3s now. But I figured if I did that as a joke, you guys would actually do it. So I kind of don't want you to have to go rat. So I won't say that. But in the end, I think, you know, like we're kind of at that point now where the war is going to start getting real. And it is no longer stuck defending space that we can't defend. And I think that's going to make a lot of changes possible tactically, which I'm looking forward to. But I don't want to keep talking. I want to hear from Jay and Asher, because these guys have been on the front lines. How do you guys feel so far about how things are going?
You mean in the overall war situation?
Yeah.
I think we're doing probably as best as we can. I mean, I think Initiative fought a far superior force for a long time, and they did an admirable job. If you look at like the Iskolos, it's actually really close. So considering there was that really giant carrier whelp, that was pretty good. Overall, you know, we're going to see like a tightening up of lines here, and that you guys have pulled back. But I'd say in general, we're having pretty much what we expected so far. We kind of expected them to maybe try to force things a little more than they have, and they have not done that. So I guess that's a bit of a surprise. But other than that, it's been pretty been going pretty well for us. I'd say we've held a lot of our space. Now it's gonna be interesting to see, you know, where does PanFam go? Obviously, they've been the real aggressors of this war, and they've been the real numbers of this war. I mean, you see Test forming fleets and, you know, getting 70, 80 minions in a fleet now, when they were getting, you know, two full fleets at the start of the war. So their numbers have really flagged, but PanFam numbers have just gotten better. So where they stage is something that I think everyone in the game is gonna be, you know, keenly watching at this point.
I mean, that makes sense, right? If you're doing well and you're hitting your goals and you're accomplishing what you're trying to do, then yeah, your guys are going to have the momentum. You're going to want to log in. Your players are going to come and fight. So I give PanFam all the credit. You know, talking to Gobbins and Headliner and the guys, and you know they're doing what they got to do. So I think the fact that Fountain held for a month was about as good as we could have expected. I don't think. You know, it was realistic for us to think that we were going to hold it for even as long as we did. So I'm glad that we did. They still got some space to clean up. You know, there's still a lot of iHubs and timers that need to come out, and there's still some structures left in there. You got keep stars in there that got to get killed. So I think it's a matter of time, and hopefully we'll get some skirmishes and some good fights out of that. But we'll see what happens from there. Asher, what's your take?
At the start of the war, I asked Shines to give me 2 weeks, and okay. He's doubled what I asked, so that's pretty darn good. So we're doing fine there. I mean, it's obviously, you know, we were never going to hold Fountain. You try your best, and but there's no way with this many enemies and this many fronts to hold that sort of space. That's really way out there. As the line's starting to tighten up, and people have to come more and more into cap and super range. We'll see, you know, what their strategy is. And, you know, I have some ideas. Like, there's sort of a balance, like, what can I say versus, you know, if I predict what they do, does that help them guess what I'm guessing they're doing, right? Like, you don't have to think about this.
Right, exactly. Yeah, don't give up any future plans, since we know they're all watching, so.
Right, yeah. But, we'll see what their plan to do is as the lines tighten up.
Jay, what's your take?
Good news.
The Fountain side of things has been a lot more interesting, mostly because that's where the fights have been happening. The fights down south mostly consist of one side jumping into another region, waiting for the hostiles to form, and then running away. That's true of both us and Tappy, so...
Jay is always kind of quiet, guys. You just sort of, by the nature of things, you need to lean in to hear
He's
him.
Quiet,
that's how he rolls.
I can get closer to the. I get closer to the microphone.
There you go. That's
oh,
better.
Yeah.
That's better.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one of the things.
Wait, Jay, has this been an option for years?
we just had to ask you.
Have I been listening to you very carefully for 7 years when you could have just leaned forward?
Basically.
Oh my fucking god, dude, seriously, we should have asked you to unfuck this years ago. Yeah, anyway, so I did see somebody commenting in chat that Asher's comment about how he had asked Initiative to, you know, hold on for, you know, just 2 weeks, and we got a month out of North Fountain and Fountain in general. There was a similar comment, I think it was by Bleezy123 I was seeing here. I haven't had a chance to really pay too much attention to scroll back because I've been laughing my ass off still. So I'm a little bit more ADHD than usual on today's episode. So I will get back to monitoring chat and trolling people and being a jerk. I promise. Don't worry. But one of the comments was North Quarius. We need to acknowledge the fall of the United Earth Directorate or whatever. And there's actually a really cool story there. So there are, you know, I know that our enemies get mad about talking about floodplains, and this is more of a chill show because, as you can see, whatever, I'm very confident with the way that things are going. I'm pretty happy with it. And there's a question about, like, how is the whole floodplains thing working? So North Quarius actually, sort of similar to how the Initiative was holding Fountain and doing a sort of staged withdrawal against overwhelming numbers, North Quarius is another area that we designated as a floodplain.
And that was held originally. We expected to lose in the first week because it's just completely indefensible. And one of our member corps, PLA, which is a Chinese member corp run by, I always mispronounce his name, Silvitny, I think is the right way to say his space name, basically decided on a personal, like a corporation quest, they were going to have this alt alliance called United Earth Directorate, and that they were going to like hero mode North Quarius, and that they were going to defend Quarius. And we were like, this is insane. You are not going to be able to do this. This is a floodplain region. If you want to, you know, charge at this windmill with a lance, you can do it. And what became extremely surprising, and you know, it was really kind of stunning. It was sort of a gift from the heavens. Is that I think it was it last, in the last 3 or 4 days, maybe within the last week, sometime in this recent period, you know, all of the bad guys got together to finally sweep the UED hubs in North Quarius. So you know,
not just trolling guys.
Yeah, like actually, and like we thought that this was going to be gone almost immediately because just the jump distances were so long, and we didn't realize that like this one corporation, this one dedicated guy could essentially hero mode fight against incredible odds, just like the initiative had. So essentially, in both North Quarius and in Fountain, the initiative and UED have bought us a tremendous amount of time to unfuck our process, right? Like, one of the things that, you know, we don't really talk about. Sorry.
I got to hop out of chat for 5 minutes, but can I say a really important thing before I go?
What's that?
Can I get in the chat a Wakataka Kage from all my sumo boys? And I'll be back.
There you go.
Oh my God, sumo boys. But basically, now that things have calmed down, I can talk about, like, instead of just, like, talking mad shit like we did on the last show, we can, like, talk about some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, is that playing for time is very important in a war like this, if you're on D, because, like, there is usually, like, there's not only just, like, the war itself, like, you need to have your spaceships beat the other guy's spaceships. There's a tremendous amount of stuff that it will sort of go into the category of, like, org work. Also, I look like I'm frozen on this screen with my
mouth.
No,
you're good.
Just sort of,
we can see.
Okay, that's good. I guess my Twitch is locked up. Anyway, org work. So there's just been a tremendous amount of like back-end related stuff where we're like, okay, we need to have a better coordination system. We need to spin up an entire SIG or squad. We have actually done that with several new SIGs or squads, which have then been doing really heroic stuff in the war, such as Goonswarm Offensive Ptosis, which is DeClorian's crew. I kind of feel like things have started to, you know, it obviously... Our enemies are going to say, you know, Fountain Frank, Baghdad Bob, if I say that I really feel like we're kind of hitting our groove here. But if you look at what the legacy group has tried and failed to do over and over again, especially in like the last couple of days, you know, yesterday they tried all day during our vulns and they didn't get a single reinforcement through. Not a single thing that we had got reinforced by the bad guys because we defended successfully. Now, of course, I'm not talking about the Fountain situation. I'm talking about the efforts of Legacy, who are out of FAT, and Test, who are out of DTAC-B. So, you know, we'll have to see. Like, maybe NCDOT and these guys are going to come in here, and they're going to come into our space, into Fortress Delve, and fight us, and suddenly it's going to make all the difference. But we have done, I think, a damn fine job of just beating the living shit out of Test every time they come into our space all day, every day, and stopping them from doing much of anything. I'm pretty happy with it.
In some ways, I think this has been like they've given us an extra month to prepare with this sort of stuff. We've sorted out a lot of the processes and things. And I feel like if they would have came in to Quarius or Pyrrhid basis with Legacy and whoever else Legacy stages with the same ferocity that Panfam attacked Fountain, I think it could have gone a lot. It would have been a lot more longer days than there have been.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's tough because, like, whenever you're in a defensive war like this, right, like, I am entirely aware when I get up on the meta show and I run my mouth and I say that, you know, guys, we've got this, that it's entirely, and I do believe we've got this, you know, especially in a war like this, you really need to be building momentum, and the Imperium has been building momentum, and Legacy and Test and those guys have been losing momentum day in, day out. PanFam is gaining momentum because obviously they are succeeding and pushing the initiative out of Fountain, right? And so credit to them. But in general, with the balance of things, time is always on the side of the defender, right? Because the war is optional for these 103 alliances that have blew up, these 150,000 pilots that have gotten together to declare a war of extermination against goons. Let's get rid of goons because they're... It's funny because they're all like, ooh, goons are bad, like goon swarm. And then they spend all their time fighting the initiative, right? Who are, as far as I can tell, not considered to be bad guys, right? Like, I'm a jerk, I'm the wizard hat guy, and instead of actually successfully coming for Delve, they're like, oh, well, you know, goons are awful, they need to be removed from the game, and now we're going to fight the initiative for a month. Okay, I mean,
I believe the public perception of Innit changed when they attacked Hard Knox the first time. I think that since then, Innit have been, you know, sort of bad guys.
Risk, are you muted? Did you fix Risk, it?
I'm still muted. All right. Well, I guess I should actually talk.
Mad shit about Horde. And
I was totally
talking
mad shit about everyone. No, what I was saying was.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I know. All right. So what I was saying was, Innit is. I think when we demonstrated that we could go in and plan and take out HK, I think that kind of changed some people's perceptions of us. Now, I think the Wormholers hated us. Because we were coming after another wormhole group, but then later on they kind of, well, you're coming after the wormhole group everybody else doesn't like, so maybe they're not so bad after all. But I was talking to a major alliance leader yesterday who's on the bad guy side, and one of the things he reminded me of is that we in Innit like to talk about ourselves like, you know, we are just the same old roaming alliance that we used to be, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, where we never held Sob and we just followed, we were like PL, we went where the content was, and we weren't held down or anything. But now, you know, we're one of the top five in the game between us and Initiative Mercenaries. We have a very large number of pilots. We can put together a solid supercap fleet, a solid Titan fleet. So I guess we are a little bit bigger, and I guess I can't just play the, you know, we're just the roaming guys that just want to follow the content or anything, because that's not how we're perceived. That may be how we feel about each other, but that's certainly not how the rest of EVE looks at us. So I think sometimes that we have to get that in our heads. But in terms of the fighting, look, PanFam, we've been fighting PanFam for years. And they give as good as they get. We fight them hard. They fight us hard. I will say this. I am very proud of Horde. You know, I think from a group that started out as essentially, you know, just the feeder newbie group for Pandemic Legion and those guys, Horde has come into its own. They are a very powerful group. They know what they're doing. They are super aggressive. They fight very hard. And I like fighting those guys. I think they're fun to fight. Gobbins and I are pretty good friends. I talk to him quite a bit on CSM and elsewhere. So I got to give Horde a lot of credit. They've done a very good job. And they haven't had to have any hand-holding from PL or NC Dot. I think these guys are a solid group on their own. So kudos to the Horde guys who are out there fighting right now. And thank you for managing to get a bubble up so I have to go the last 10 kilometers on this gate by, you know, by itself. I hate you. Anyway, I'm going to shut up and let you guys talk now while I...
Well, I think Asher just got back. And one of the things that I want to talk about, and one of the reasons why, you know, obviously I'm not going to take like our top military commanders off the field. So like last week we couldn't have these guys on, but this week things are sort of sorted out now, I think, in the battlefield. So one of the things I wanted to actually ask FC, who understands tactics and things like that, is basically, what are your opinions, Asher, about the current fleet meta in this war, right? Because there's a lot of munins everywhere. There's a lot of carrier action on various gates. It does seem to be more of a dreadnought war. We're seeing a ton of like hodreds used everywhere, and there's also lots of like slap fight hacking and Tosis nonsense everywhere. So I was kind of wondering what your general impressions and opinions might be about the kind of overall fleet meta on all sides, if you have opinions about it, and what we're learning about the current state of balance in EVE from what we're seeing.
I can address that. I also want to throw it back a philosophical question to you once you're done. Munins. There are lots of munins. There's lots of hacks. I looked at the numbers of ships lost so far in this war, and it was surprisingly low. This was like 4 or 5 days ago, but it was like 700 Munians lost on their side, and we've lost like 220 sacks. So, and then we've also lost like 180 Munians. The number one loss on our side were Zealots. And so...
And that was all from that one fleet. That was all from the first Titan Save fleet that we did when...
Well, there was one other one, but there was one other one. But like the point is those AB Zealots, once they're committed, you know, they're in there and they can't leave. And so if a superior force gets to you, you just lose all your ships. Whereas Munins, I mean, you saw, we had bubbles and tackle and all stuff around a Munin fleet in a POS, and they just cruised out at 4K a second, you know, heated props. You can't stop them. And so everyone's flying doctrines that to one degree or another, I mean, not to commit. And I would never throw aspersions at that because I've been flying that my whole EVE FC career. So I would never say, you cowards. Like, that's not how I'd say. I would say that the ADC has made these doctrines possible. Like, there are a lot of people flying hacks now that did not fly them when they had, you know, 40K, 50K, 60K EHP, and one mistake made you lose your fleets. Like, that, you never saw these guys fly those doctrines before. The EDC is sort of what's making this meta possible. I think there's a lot of, you know, lack of commitment, trying to draw fights into a favorable area for you, and no one's really taken those. All the fights that have happened that were major, the only one that was like opted into was that carrier loss. That was the only fight that went really badly that was an opt-in fight. All the others have been like a Titan jumped, a Titan warped. It was all stuff where you were sort of forced into that. No one else is taking those fights like, you know, intentionally. Everyone's trying to say, oh, you know, blue ball, ruin their morale and force a fight on our terms. And just no one's giving in to not fighting on their terms. All right, so now that I've said that, here's my sort of philosophical question for you, Mittens.
All right, here we go.
All right, this is about, I was thinking about this demographics, right? And you look at the demographics of a Goon Swarm, there's a lot of, like, guys who are, you know, now in their 30s, you know, a lot of them have families. And we look at stuff like from Horde, where they have, you know, Simp Fleet and Cuck Fleet, and we're just like, wow, that's not something I would want to participate in. But the kind of player in EVE who can stay up 18 hours a day and be ready to flash form, it doesn't have kids, is in college, right? That might appeal to them a lot more. And, you know, I'm in my 30s. I'm like, I'm not really interested in going on Cuck Fleet. Thank you very much. But is that a demographic victory in the end when you're going to have, you know, that's something I've been thinking about a lot. Is Goon Swarm going to age out to the point where we're all friends, we'll do our best, but we are, you know, we have families, we have jobs, we have stuff like that. Whereas Horde's going to recruit people who you know, are really into TikTok, and they can be at their computer longer. What do you think about that idea?
I don't buy it. I mean, I've seen that argument made before, but like one of the things that I've gotten from like reading hostile spy channels and stuff like that is, one of the weirdest things that I have seen, and you know, enemies are going like Boomer Swarm and stuff like that, and that's not really where we are. Like, I'm Gen X. I'm actually, I think, on the border of
we're
being
barely
a millennial.
Gen X.
Yeah,
you and I are barely
born
Gen
in '78, right? We're in that. You know, we grew up with like Dawson's Creek and Beverly.
This is not Boomer. You guys are. You guys don't
Oregon
realize
Trail
Boomer,
generation.
Boomer's not baby Boomer. It's just like anyone.
Anyone
who has gray in his hair is a Boomer.
Well, you remember that, yeah, but yeah.
The thing about it from like reading what the enemy says is that, you know, I think that there are, it's really weird when you have somebody who is like a grown adult who is roughly in the same demographic age, right? Like the median age of EVE players is probably like 40 now. When I was on the CSM a zillion years ago, and this is obviously no longer NDA'd, the median age was like 37, and that was around 2011, thereabouts. So I don't believe that there is like this suddenly this young, fresh group of hip kids or something who are all in Pandemic Horde. I think particularly when you see like the Cuck Fleet stuff, the Simp Fleet stuff, watching any Valcorsa post, who incidentally every time I say his name, he like posts 5 or 6 more things on our Eve, and so I'm just going to keep doing this every meta
keep
show
saying
to
it.
Make it suffer. It's hilarious actually because it just makes everybody suffer. They have to read more of his posts.
But I think it's essentially like some of it is political, right? Like some of these things, some of these catchphrases that are getting used are people who are literally purged from the Imperium for Cultural Revolution violations. Like we have certain things in the Imperium that you are not allowed to do or say. And if you do or say certain bad things, you get fired out in an airlock with no excuse for it, right? And you don't get let back in because I'm an evil bad guy. So you can't be racist, sexist, or a piece of shit, or you get thrown out an airlock. So a lot of these people who are in sort of the enemy, some of them are people who couldn't make it in the Imperium, got thrown out, and they have like weird try-hard phrases, like the whole cuck thing. I don't think that's a Zoomer thing as much as it is like an incel alt-right loser kind of thing. I don't know. But in terms of generational divides, I don't see it because, you know, so many of our FCs are in their early 20s too. Like it's, you know, we have people like Mike Flood, Jay is, you know, I guess I shouldn't be like telling everybody's age, but we have, I'm not really seeing like a demographic difference between our organizations. And the other thing, another reason why I'm not too worried about like Gunstorm aging out or something like that, is that as our enemies have discovered, like we've talked about this before, but as usual, the bad guys don't believe it until they see it, is there are thousands of players in Gunstorm who literally only play the game when there's a hell war, right? Like the amount of people who come back every 5 or 10 years when something really serious kicks off and start resubbing and playing again, having to learn how to play the game again, is tremendous. So I don't think that's really that much of a concern, especially during a pandemic. I suppose the most obvious answer was during a pandemic that doesn't really matter because we're all stuck at home and have nothing to do but play EVE anyway.
I got updated numbers, by the way. They've lost 1,016 units. We've lost 350 sacks and 275 units.
We have lost. So apparently the Jackdaws are very important. I learned this because the enemy in chat here and on Reddit constantly likes to bring up how many Jackdaws we've lost. I guess the Jackdaw is the new Rifter. I am happy to lose 10,000 Jackdaws, guys. I think 2,000 Jackdaws is what, like 200 billion ISK? During the Jeff deployment before this war, we were shedding like 400 billion ISK a day. Not every day, but there would be the days they were, whoops, we whelped an entire carrier fleet. Whoops, you whelped an entire SAC fleet because we were doing training operations. And because we weren't playing for keeps and there wasn't all this Fazisov stuff going on, it was much more like run into low SEC,
I've actually got the numbers on that, man. We've lost 2,000 Jackdaws. They've lost 1,300 Jackdaws and 3,300 Cormorants. So
that's a lot of
35 mil pop. Though.
At 35 mil pop, that adds up. At 35 mil pop, that adds up.
That's a lot of corms.
Oh, man. But yeah, no, it's it is interesting because, you know, actually, even before this, we had to skip our Illuminati meeting today because, you know, we had ops. But our chief reimbursement person, Atrium, was basically saying like, yeah, subcap reimbursement has really been just like low. Because, you know, once one side starts losing their logi, it reminds me of the old days where you'd have during like the T3 cruiser meta when like once one side lost their logi, they would disengage and run. And so many battle reports would just be like, well, there's 20 billion logi lost here. And then the fight ended. But I'm cool with that because we're on D. Right. And so if the enemy wants to have like a disengage heavy, let's rely on our munins and our ADCs sort of meta. I'm cool with that because if they want to break and run whenever a fight starts, it buys us time. And time is always the thing that matters the most for a defender.
And I think the other thing I would say is, you know, if we're talking about a war of attrition, and I think that's kind of what this is going to end up being, just who can fight the longest, who can hold out the longest. You guys have seen the MERs for the last 2 years, 3 years. You know where the wealth is being created and where it wasn't, and you guys can read them to do the math as well as anybody else. I feel pretty confident that you know, we're going to be okay, at least in the short term. In the long term, depending on how long this goes, I mean, look, it took a month to clear Fountain. Quirius is still, I guess, halfway done, maybe. But the regional gate is still up, the one that's important.
Quirius of the stuff we care about is fine.
Yeah, so I feel like, you know, in the end, you know, it's going to take a little bit longer to get there. So we're kind of at the turning point now where we're going to start getting into the real grindy operation. I said the grind started last week. Maybe to a certain extent I was being a little optimistic, but I think now the grind is really going to start. There are a ton of structures that got to get cleared out of Fountain still. There are a ton of structures that are going to have to get cleared out of North Quirius. And I think now we're going to start seeing some of the bigger fights. So, but if this is going to turn into a war of attrition, I'm looking at World War B, the World War B tracker. It has Imperium assets at 3.5 trillion lost and Pappy assets of 2.7 trillion. You know, I think in the end, we've got a lot more ISK to blow here than I think the bad guys probably do. At least I think, for the most part, other than Fraternity and some of the other groups that are making a ton of money and continue to make a ton of money, I think the Imperium is pretty well situated in that regard. So we'll see what happens. Whoa.
One thing I do have to say, Briss just got very, very orange on me. There we go. Now you guys can see Briss.
Oh, yeah.
He's fixed it. That was my surprise face. I've got a few sort of general comments about this, which is Test, you're fucked. I just want Test to know you guys are fucked. Because even if you all get together with your 150,000 blues and you all snuggle together, PanFam are the only ones who are actually accomplishing anything in this war. And you all know that the moment that these people begin to break or falter or go away, or maybe they kick us out of all of our space and we retreat to NPC Delve and your little fantasy land kumbaya begins to come to pass, it's actually not going to happen.
Finally, there'll be peace in the galaxy.
Yeah. Once you guys can't stand against us. We are already kicking your asses on a daily basis. The only reason why you are even in this war in any capacity whatsoever is mainly because of all the work Legacy does. Like, there's this one dude in Brave who has been doing pretty much all of the FCing. The Legacy groups have been outforming Test on the regular. Test FCs fucking suck. And the only group that's actually made any progress has been PanFam. And it's not like Test hasn't been trying to do things. You guys try every fucking day and you keep failing because, one, you don't really have much of a leadership structure. Two, what you have in there kind of sucks ass. Three, you're always so tired. And four, you know damn well that regardless of whatever happens with PanFam, we're still coming after you. And unless you can keep the entire galaxy still on your side to defend your shit, you're next. And
no, that's what's going to happen. The blue donut forever. Test will never be.
Oh, they'll all be friends forever, and everyone forever, will help forever. Save Test from the wrath of the Imperium.
Let me tell you what definitely won't happen. This is never going to happen. I'm not being sarcastic. What will never happen is in, say, 2 months, Fraternity will not attack AOM. They just won't do it. Those guys love each other. And then Test will not abandon Army of Mangos. That's definitely not going to happen either. In 2 months, none of that will happen. Your allies won't be attacking the people that you are blue to. I'm just throwing it out there for something that won't happen. Sorry for wasting your time.
Yeah, I think it is just kind of an interesting thing because, again, part of this, the whole being on defense thing, is it gives us time. Every day that Test doesn't actually succeed in reinforcing any of our shit, it gives us bandwidth for the next couple days. So you come into our space, you fail horribly, you hope that PanFam's going to do all the work, which is reasonable because PanFam are competent and Test at least has the understanding that they suck. I don't know why they started this war, but whatever. I do know why they started. They suck so much they thought it would be easy and that we would collapse inward like a rotten melon or something, that this would all be over by next week. We have now had an opportunity to hire some mercenaries and get some more allies and set up our coordination systems in such ways that now we get to basically torment Test with endless Citadel spam, with lots of other fun things that we have coming. I really kind of think that the fun is just getting started. Every day that you guys fail to actually attack us in any significant way, you try, of course, just like you did today. But you actually have to succeed in reinforcing things for it to matter for the next couple of days. So I appreciate the bandwidth. And believe me, and every day that we have free moments to think, we will be continuing to think and put things into place to focus on Test, because Test is still next. And a lot of people are very eager to help out with that. So it's fun times.
All right. I would like to make a momentous announcement. This is a major announcement.
All right.
All of my stuff is out of Fountain, finally. Well, I can log out of the game today.
Well done.
I'm done moving. I've only been moving since noon. It is now almost 5 o'clock. So there you go. Brisk is in Delve. I'm happy. I'm happy I can finally stop.
I hope you guys like it. Like, seriously, like, Delve, one of the things about actually, like, playing the game now, again, Eve 2020 Mittens asking about how to set up a PI chain and, like, this really cool battle station and stuff. And, like, actually playing in Delve is wild. Like, Delve is, like, it's one thing to, like, manage and run
so
the
precious.
Empire, but, like, to actually fly through this fucking thing is, it's like a completely different world. Like, it is nuts what we have built. Actually, one of the things I wanted to do, because I wanted to fuck with people, and I forgot about this, which is, it involved numbers, which is why I probably forgot about it. But one of the things I've been meaning to do in front of a whole bunch of the hostiles, ideally, and hopefully one of my directors can send me this on Javers, I'd like to tell them exactly how many Fortizars we have and exactly how many of these other combat citadels we have in our space in Delve, because they do seem to be very excited about attacking us, in theory, in Delve. Hopefully, please come to Delve. We have wonderful things to show you. And... It's definitely north of like 400 Fortizars. It might have been even
a lot of the forts in like Fountain have been basically undefended, right? Because it was too far out to defend. Mm-hmm. So I assume that they think that once we have lost whatever that is, that they will then do the same here. So that's okay. I mean, I think that's a cool assumption. I think it's a cool assumption.
I actually need to figure this out because I saw some guys complaining about. You know, blue ball Fortizar kill ops, or how we are not fighting for our various citadels in you lost a Fortizar. And I think that I remember that we talked about this on like my first war update, and I was like, oh, it's the timing isn't right, because we wanted you guys to feel like you were making progress and feel like this was almost over, or whatever it is that you happen to be deluding yourself about right now. But I need to find the exact numbers so I can tell you exactly how much more work you have to do.
Just say a number and they'll claim it's some sort of spin.
11 billion. That's how many.
11 billion. 11 that's billion. How much I hired Wings for, actually. I hired the penis people as mercenaries for a weekly contract of 11 trillion-esque. And I actually have one of our recon directors on this right now who is going to get us some exact counts. But the amount of structures that you guys have to show up for three timers to do while we will be sniping you relentlessly is a lot. So I hope you guys are having fun, and welcome to Delve.
There's months more of it. Many months, many, many months in the future of this sort of fun available to you.
You know, our numbers keep going down so much. The Imperium is clearly not amused at all. Like, we are totally not having fun having these idiots, you know, lunge into our pubby wood chipper all day, every day, right?
You have to know one more sort of, and I know my sort of tuzzy listing things, but you want to know one more sort of interesting number from the overall battle reports? T2 Logi, so far in the war, they've lost 640, and we've lost, hang on, I just have the number here. We have lost 390. So we've killed double their Logi. I don't know what that indicates, but we've killed double the Logi that they have so far in the war.
In terms of supply...
You've also lost double the number of iHubs, Asher, so shut the fuck up.
True, right, true.
There you go.
I like this Jay thing where he just role-plays as the other side.
I'm a Zoomer as well, so I can get into the Zoomer mindset.
Yeah, you are a Zoomer. Jay, as a Zoomer, does joining Cuckfleet and Simfleet appeal to you in a sort of a deep way that I can't connect with?
They announced they were making a fleet called Cuckfleet. I was very, very tempted to leave Windstorm Federation and join Pandemic Horde.
That was it. That was when it happened. God.
And I feel bad knowing that we've killed that many Logi because, as my friend Delana in the chat has mentioned, most of those were her when we killed her, like a dozen times again. I feel bad. She seems to get primaried on these fleets more often than I do, which is rare. I did think it was funny today. We were cleaning up the dread drop that killed the two Titans, and all of the cap fit dreads decided they wanted to shoot at me, and I was like, okay, that's fine. You know, that was cute. I enjoyed that. It was a nice little hi, Brisk. It's nice to see you on field.
I'll say one thing. So. I'll say one interesting thing about this war is they have severe numbers advantage. Like, pretty much the biggest numbers advantage you're ever going to get on a war this size. So I think that's going to be really interesting when Horde moves, is because there's going to be a lot of people in our area, and we have no way, even with the number of tests are forming now, I know they're really low, but even there, they're going to outnumber us quite a bit. So we're going to have to be really smart about the way that we fight. And luckily our numbers are like, have been better, the last week than they were the week before. So I think that indicates a lot of enthusiasm from our guys. I think when you're defending your home, obviously that has a sort of a motivational factor that attacking does not. And I think that the real test is going to be like these capital fights. Is, you know, if I had this kind of super capital advantage that they have, I would be pushing through gates right now. But I'm not running this war, so it's like, you know, that's sort of the difference. They're being really cautious. And I think that sort of one interesting thing is, right, say that the big capital brawl goes down, right? Even if we lose the fight, we get to choose who loses their super fleet. Like, even if we lose the overall
that's
fight,
right, we do. Yeah, we get to pick who we're going to delete.
And none of them want to be the one deleted. So Frat's like, hey, you guys jump in first. Go ahead. Mm-mm. Like, we'll see you. We'll see you on the other side. It's like, I don't know if you know this, Mittens. I think
our Sino died. Sorry, we couldn't jump in right away.
There are some some other alliances. NC is pretty famous for this, where they have to use regroup to get their guys to decloak on gates, because no one will decloak when you say decloak, because they don't want to be the first to get shot, because they're not reimbursed for their DPS ships. What? So the FC has to press regroup to get them all to decloak, or else he'll just decloak and no one else will. So I it's sort of like that situation, but writ large, where they're all going to be like, yeah, jump your Titans in first. We're coming in immediately behind you. We're lighting the Sinos. We're coming in. And I honestly think that might be like a big draw or big drawback, or one of the reasons they're not using their supers, even though they have this outrageous advantage, because they're afraid that they're going to be the ones who lose their fleet.
They're afraid that Pro-God is going to pull a Pro-God and do exactly what he did in BR5, right? Like, it's basically, again, like the same gaggle of blues in the blue donut. Pro-God is wearing a test flag, but it's Pro-God. It's N3 all over again. And in BR5, Nulli Secunda, you know, NCDOT and PL, like they fought and died together in BR5. And there was a little controversy during BR5 where the Nulli Secunda supercap fleet was maybe not jumping in. And they certainly jumped what they had out first because, you know, they were squirrely and they didn't want to lose their shit. And so, you know, if somebody told me that Pro-God Legend was going to get the entire galaxy together and him and Vili were going to lead a grand campaign against the Imperium and wipe out Goonswarm or get me to quit, which is, I guess, another fun thing, because unfortunately, this is really a lot of fun and I'm playing more EVE than I ever have before, quite literally, because, you know, metagame only up until recently. Getting me to quit by invading us is really just sort of ass backwards, but whatever. But, you know, I can understand their hesitation. I would not follow Pro-God Legend super capitals anywhere if he wanted me to be in the Vanguard or something like that because of what he did in BR5. I mean, the guy is notorious for this shit, so whatever.
Also quit. God. Yeah. Quick way to get Mins to quit. Uh-huh. You infiltrate Goonswarm, you work your way up so that you're a logistics director, and then every week you have to tell him how many Athanors you've dropped. Slowly, week by week by week, Mitten's brain will turn to goo.
Yeah.
And quit.
The endless discussion of moon rental policy, dark ochre rule policy.
Yeah.
Anything that involves, like, forms.
Crab policy. By the way,
Mittens has to negotiate all the ratting drama. He has to be the arbiter.
So people in the chat are arguing over whether NC reimburses their DPS. I don't know if they do right now. I have no idea. This is a story from some time ago. It's just an example of what happened with the sort of perverse incentive that existed. And this is exactly perverse incentive.
Yeah, somebody is saying that overtime logging in and sitting in station will affect goon numbers. The plan is to starve them out. This will be a long war. So something that actually I've seen, and this could be the, like, there's a huge issue of echo chambers in wars, right? Like, we're on the meta show. This is an Imperium echo chamber here. I'll call it that. I have no problem with that. The enemy has their echo chambers, and then there's like the public echo chambers, like the Kugu Discord or like maybe whatever's happening on our Eve. And I don't know whether this comment here from Zobozo11, which was saying overtime logging in will like wear people out, and the idea is to have us camped in station. I don't know if people think that the Imperium is just hiding in stations all day, because we're pretty visibly out there all day, every day, assassinating hackers, blowing up idiots who try to jump into our space, shoving them back into their space, and then sometimes chasing them, dropping citadels in their space, and generally wreaking havoc. So, like, we haven't really been in a situation where, like, we've been camped in and our guys are sitting around doing nothing. What else is interesting is that, and I'm really glad for example, I think that we would be in a much more dire situation as the Imperium if we had not brought on board Dracaris, Ranger Regiment, and Iron Crown. Like, getting those guys on board was huge for us because we have an extremely strong +8 time zone now. In addition to the kind of support that we were able to have from PLA doing what UED was doing up in North Aquarius. But we have essentially created a completely 24/7 international all time zone operation here. And not many other coalitions have that. They have time zones where, like, things, you know, it's like 30 dudes around or whatever. But we're able to operate constantly all day, every day. And one of the reasons why this has been very useful to us is it ensures that essentially we're always able to be achieving some sort of objective. And even if that objective is just making sure that our ADMs are up, which is critically important. I've been seeing people going like, oh, you're doing ADM fleets. Well, we're on defense, dude. Like, that's literally part of the game. It's like saying, oh, you're killing hackers.
I mean, the problem is that it's just as unfun as it is to be camped in, it is less fun to actually, and I mean legitimately camp, not cloaky camp. Mm-hmm. I mean, to actually deny people from doing things for 6 months, which is what you need to do to like break will like that, then it's just not going to happen. Everyone who's listening to this pays for this game in some way. They're paying their own money to enjoy the game. It, you know, test NC Panfam, they don't have a military force. So you're the only thing driving that kind of thing is just hatred. Right. And as punchable a face as you have, Mittens, it's not 6 months of camping punchable. I'm sorry. Even you can't annoy people that much. So it just won't happen. Like that's not a viable strategy from their part. And I don't know if that's actually like a truthful thing or they're just trying to spook goons.
I think people are bored of hating me. I mean, like the other thing about it is like, I'm just sort of like a known like Mittens with a wizard hat at FanFest. Like it's become a meme. You know, the group of forces that are assembled against us by and large, like one of the things I think you brought up a really interesting point, which is that like Pro God Legend got up and gave this speech. And I don't even think Pro God was like one of the big players of this war. I think it was mainly like Villy and Manny, but Pro God gave his stupid speech where he's all like, oh, goons are bad for the game or whatever. But most of the people that are trying to kill us right now are just trying to kill us because, you know, why wouldn't they really? Like if it's a party of, you know, everybody's going to take out the Imperium and, you know, you kind of might as well join in. You know, the dudes in NCDOT and PL and like Horde, like there's not really any animus there. It's not, you know, sure they can say like they hate my guts. A few of them do hate my guts. That is true. But by and large, it's like, you know, I don't think anybody really hates Vince, right? It'll be like me hating Vince still, or also, even in the first place. Like I never hated Vince. It's just why
honestly,
bother?
Guys, part of this really is just we are the visible faces. Mm-hmm. Like you're on.
They
you're
go
on
after
every
you.
Week. I'm on.
Oh
they
my
come after me.
God.
I'm a teddy bear. I'm
These
the most
children come
guy
after
in
you
Eve.
Because they realize and I don't give a shit about their feelings or anything about them. They exist only as fodder for my amusement and the amusement of my people. But right. they think that you're an easier target. So like, you know, there I am. I'm looking at Reddit and waiting to see whichever, you know, what QAnon right wing psychopathic loser incel is gonna pop up on my mass tagger flag so I control them on Twitter and basically put them on blast in front of everybody who follows me about what a loser they are.
I don't know what you guys are saying about everyone hates us because no one hates me. I'm beloved. Thank you.
You are beloved. You are beloved.
We are genuinely
Asher. You are genuinely loved.
No, well, here's the thing. Like, this is one other thing. Is like, I don't really get like everyone hates goons. Like, as far as like giant groups go, I think we're the good ones. Like, and we haven't always been, but. We're not the biggest group in the game. We deploy outnumbered to other people's space.
We always fight like, outnumbered these days. The last several years, we're always outnumbered.
No one does that. We took like an even number Titan fight against a Keepstar. Like they had a Keepstar and Titans that had Tether. We took that fight. Like we went in on the offensive. Like we're the. No one else does that, right? Like none of the big groups do that. There's small groups that go out and fight outnumbered, but like no one else does that. And I like. The only way I see that like we are the bad guys is people just like dislike you and your wrestling like promoter shtick. Like that's the only reason, and like that's the only thing I can think of where it's like you know, goons are the bad guys because Mitten says mean things to me. Like okay,
well baby, cool. Pull snowflakes.
Oh. Yeah, and just like you're doing now, exactly.
Oh, like, he doesn't care about my feelings. Oh, like, he's so mean in a space game. Oh, yeah.
Meanwhile, you've got like you know Alliance executors who are like account ban, evading those, and the Alliances have like negative trillion-esque wallet carries because of their, let's say, suspicious practices with money. Right? Like.
That's right.
But you'd never hear a negative word because those guys don't have a talk show where they say mean things about other people.
Like, they don't have talk shows, period. I mean, look, think about it this way. All right, look at this. Mittens and I are on here. I'm not even a leader of Innit, but everybody thinks because I'm on this show that somehow I'm like the head of Innit, and I
you
always
have,
laugh
you have
about
literally
that.
No power in Innit either. Like you're I literally, nothing.
I am a line member. That's all I am. I'm a CSM. At best, I am someone that people know. But if you look at the other side, Gobbins doesn't do any of these shows. Vince doesn't do any of these shows. Lady Scarlet doesn't do any of these shows. Headliner wants to come on this show, apparently, but we'll invite him when people stop asking me to. Because every time you ask, that's another month he's not getting on the show. Just be aware of that. And then all of the big guys, I mean, Billy never comes on camera. You'll get ProGod on. He's the only one that's willing to go out there and do that stuff. That's it. Who else comes on these shows? Nobody. So
it would be interesting
they have faces to come after us. God. They don't have faces to come. They don't do that for us. So there you go. So that's why we get the heat. But that's
I'm
fine,
just really flattered by the Vince McMahon analogy. Like,
there you go.
I am
Vince McMahoni.
I'm even wearing the freaking blazer for it and everything. I need to get my style game going, and I try to do that famous gif of him.
Yeah, I was gonna say, do you know the walk that like Conor McGregor stole that Vince McMahon did? Yeah,
yeah
I would
gotta
love
do,
to
gotta
see
do that,
that
walk. Exactly.
With the arm swinging. Yeah. Oh, I mean that would
arm
be
arm swinging walk.
That would make and honestly, if
should totally do that.
If there was a gif of you doing that in like Eve Vegas and it was posted on the Reddit and everyone was like so cringe, it's the cringiest thing ever. That would be like my favorite Reddit thread.
Oh my God. Well, the more that these people talk about me doing things that they call, because in a cringe, cuck, simp, all these kind of things, usually the kind of things that like fucking losers say. And so like the more that they're like, oh, you're so cringe. And I'm like, okay, baby, you're mad. You're hating. Let's do it. Let's
but
do it.
The,
keep it coming.
Is,
keep it
this
coming.
This is the thing. Guys. This is the meta show. We are here to entertain. We are here. We do shtick. Exactly. To entertain us. We do stuff that we think is funny for our audience, which is largely people who are friends
babies.
With us. I will put on a beret and dress up as Baghdad Bob because I think it's funny because that's how all the stuff was. We do things that amuse ourselves, and we hope that you're amused at the same time. But in the end, honestly, guys, this is a game. I'm having a blast. I hope you're having a blast. I don't care what side of the war you're on. This is Eve at its best. This is why everybody wants to play this game. It's because we have games where people will sit and watch a talk show for an hour and 10 minutes. 1,300 people on a Saturday afternoon will sit here and watch a talk show of us talking about Eve. We're not even showing you us playing it. We're just talking about it. You know, what other games do that?
Ho's mad. Ho's
good,
mad.
So, exactly.
Good
Ho's
news,
mad.
Guys.
So, in the end, it's like, guys, I hope you're having fun. I'm having fun. I can say, sitting here, I like going out on fleets. I enjoy seeing Mitanni in the game again. I am asked for Asher. I am gay for Jay. I am hard for Hartley. I want to go out on all these fleets and see everybody. I'm enjoying myself. I hope you are too. And that's why we're all here. We're supposed to be having fun. If you're not having fun, first of all, you're watching the wrong show. And second of all, you're playing the wrong game.
Can I just tell you guys a good news? The hurricane fleet that Legacy is sending to headshot my house has been downgraded to a tropical storm fleet. So I'm feeling better right now that
go.
I'm not going to get headshot. I'll get reps. So we're doing okay over here.
Excellent. Oh, wow. It's after 4 already. I was having so much fun trying to imitate Vince McMahon. And now, the thing is that I have a very reactive personality in a lot of ways. And if I find something that makes people that I don't like upset, I will just play into it at every opportunity. So, like, when the guys were
that,
like...
Did you guys see that parody of, like, that cartoon, which is, like, our beloved religion, our...
Oh, yeah.
Ruler. Someone made an Eve version. Mm-hmm. I was thinking there should be one for, like, shitposting. It would be, like, our hilarious trolls, them biting on our, like...
They're terrible cringe posters.
They're cringy shitposters.
They're terrible cringe posters.
That's a good idea.
They actually believe this. And then us being, like, they took the bait. Our hilarious trolls, our funny memes... Their cringe post. They like just it should just really be a perfect image for
it is somebody. I mean it's one of those irregular verbs, right?
Yeah,
it's,
exactly.
Okay,
all right, we're at the end of the show. We've hit our hour and we've gone over a little bit. We've provided you guys with more entertainment value than you were expecting. You got a whole extra 5 minutes today. You should be pleased.
Well, apparently I am. Hopefully this time, if we have a closing gimmick, I won't be misinformed.
No closing gimmicks. No closing gimmicks this week. We're done. All right. We had a gimmick at the start of the show, not at the end. So we're good.
All right, guys. Well, yeah, we'll be back. Maybe Fountain Frank will be a recurring character. I kind of hope so. Maybe it won't be Fountain. We'll
see
Baghdad Risk. It's an amazing costume. I love it. Maybe next time I'll try to dress up like Vince McMahon or something like that. I don't know how that'll work. I'll see what we can work on here. It's the era of gimmicks here. But yeah, thank you guys for turning up, especially for the people that got really angry in chat that I got banned repeatedly through it. You did entertain me. So, high fives all around. Thanks, guys. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks, everybody. This has been the Meta Show for August 1st, 2020, along with Jay, Asher, and the Mitanni. I'm Brisker Ball. Thank you all for watching us. Pinecones to Linda Est, and you stay classy, Newie.